Hey guys, Ivanka and Mel here. First up, thank you so much for an amazing season one for Moms in the Middle. We had a lot of fun doing it, and apparently you guys had a lot of fun listening too.
So we're coming back with season two, and we really hope that you'll join us for what will be another terrific season. We'll let you know when we're ready to launch. In the meantime, check out from our network, Three Trips Ahead by Maureen Holloway. And there's one particular episode where she features Heather Greenwood Davis, and she has a very interesting adventure. Can we call it that?
An adventure traveling a year with her kids. A year. I can't even imagine. I can't even think about just
365.
1 week. 1 week is overwhelming with all of that, right?
Yeah, I can't even imagine.
Well, you can't imagine right now if you hear our mics going kind of crazy. It's George. It's George talking, one of the two little guys.
Yeah, the more the merrier. I was going to cue you in, okay? Are you ready to be cued?
Yeah.
Okay, so tune in to the Three Trips Ahead, and we'll be out with the season two of Moms in the Middle. The more, the merrier.
Mayor.
Three Trips Ahead is brought to you by RedTag.ca. Plan your perfect winter trip today. When my eldest son was 7 years old, I thought it would be great to take him to London and Paris to see his aunt and his godmother. It'll be so much fun, I promised him. We'll go up the London Eye and the Eiffel Tower, and we'll see Big Ben and take a bateau mouche down the Seine. Sure, said my seven-year-old. Can I take my Game Boy? We had a good time for the most part. It was different traveling with a kid. He didn't want to go to churches or museums. And he really didn't like the food. All he wanted was Coke and French fries, which in France they just call fries. All he really wanted to do was ride the street carousels in Paris or play soccer on the common in London. It seems he always had to go to the bathroom where there weren't any. And we both hated the lineups. And for this reason, to this day, we still call it the Eiffel Tower. Hi there, I'm Maureen Holloway, and welcome to Three Trips Ahead, the podcast that doesn't necessarily tell you where to go, but does try to help you get there. This week, we are talking about family travel, the ups and downs of packing up your kids and your caboodles and taking them with you. When I was little, you know, back before the war, or some war anyway, our parents didn't take us anywhere. But nowadays, 44% of millennials plan to take a family vacation this year. A quarter of those plan three or more vacations in the next 12 months. How can they afford it? Where do they go? What about school? Well, we have the answers to those questions and more from Heather Greenwood Davis. She's a travel writer who took her two children out of school and traveled around the world with them. Hello, Heather.
Hello.
Nice to meet you.
You as well.
You have done something that most people, I think, would consider one of the greatest possible adventures, and some people would recoil in horror. You took your two children out of school for a year traveled around the world with them.
I'm
assuming you have a partner?
I do. I'm married.
Okay. Well, it's fair to ask, right? And two children, how old were they?
So they were 6 and 8 when we left home, and they turned 7 and 9 while we were on the trip.
So what prompted this?
You know, it's funny because people are always like, oh, your marriage was in a crisis or were you sick or, you know, something has happened. And really, it wasn't that traumatic. It was just that over the years, I started to feel like I had less and less control over my own kids. I felt like the school was starting to swallow them up, or extracurricular activities, or party plans from the, you know, the neighbor's kids and the play dates and all of that kind of, I don't even remember anymore, they're so old. I'm like, play dates. Yeah, and I just started to feel more and more like, where are they? Like, we're not this cohesive unit of four that we were when they were smaller. My husband and I had always talked about going away for a year or taking a year and traveling, and we started to say, well, why not with them? And it just seemed like the right time. So they were in grade 1 and grade 3, which meant they would miss grade 2 and grade 4. Mm-hmm. And we were like, what do you remember from grade 2 or grade 4?
That's nothing a very much. Good point.
Right.
At the moment, absolutely nothing.
Exactly.
To ask you quite boldly, this is a financial challenge.
It is.
To do that. So had you saved up and did you sell your house? How did you quite technically managed to do this?
It was a lot of different things. So first of all, my husband works for the municipal government. And so he was able to get a 4-over-5 program going. So that meant for 4 years, they withheld 20% of his pay.
Okay.
In the fifth year, he gets that 80% back while he's away. So he doesn't have to come into work that year. So that takes care. That's one salary in. I was a freelancer. And I was just into, I think it was a few years into my travel column. At that time, it was with the Toronto Star. And for me, the biggest drawback was that because I had these young children, I was really hesitant to go too far from them. I could go away for a few days or what have you, but I needed to be home again. It just, the mechanics of it with the two kids and the two parents worked a little easier. And so this was going to be an opportunity where we could go further away and they'd be with me. So we didn't have to rush back. And so we actually would have two incomes going. We also decided that we were going to rent out our house. So we did that. We sold a car. Mm-hmm. We cashed in RSPs.
Wow.
Like it really was sort of getting cash wherever we could and minimizing the bills we had at home. And yeah, we took off and did it and it worked out.
All right. So let's get into what you did. 29 countries?
29 countries.
Over 12 months.
29 countries, 6 continents over 12 months.
Where did you want it? Where did you go?
Oh, where didn't
we go? I mean, you don't have to give me a full list. It's just, so when you were planning the trip, where did you, where, what were your musts?
Well, there were a couple of key things. One was that we wanted to make sure that Canada was included in it. So I grew up with parents. My parents are from Jamaica, immigrated in the 70s, and they were really big in having chosen Canada that we get to see Canada. So they made a valiant effort for us to get out to the 10 provinces. Didn't succeed, but they really tried. So we knew that for our kids, we wanted to do a little bit of that, show them some of the different places outside of Toronto, outside of Ontario. So we went out through the West. We hit, I'm going to mess it up, but we hit Manitoba, we hit Alberta, we hit BC, and then we came in through the East. So we, on the way in, we did the Maritime provinces, not Newfoundland, but the Maritime provinces, and then drove in through Quebec and back into Ontario.
Nice.
And then in between, so out of BC, we flew into South America and hit places like Colombia and Argentina, the Galapagos Islands. We went from there, I'm never going to get this right, but we went from there to China. That was a big one for us, 30
yeah.
days in China, which China was one of those places where we had to decide how long we were going to spend, which we didn't do for most of this. Most of this was, how do you feel?
Really?
Where do you want to be? Yeah.
It was that serendipitous.
Oh, yeah.
Just follow the wind.
That was actually, that was a big, big part of it for me. I think we forget that kids at school are as regimented as they are. And I had, my older child was particularly susceptible to all of it, to the stress of it, to the bells ringing and it's time to do this and stop doing this and start now, color now, stop coloring now. You know, it's so stressful. But it really is. It really is. And I realized probably within about, I'd say 3 to 4 weeks of taking them out of school, that their posture changed. You know, they actually relaxed a little bit more and they were like, who wouldn't, right? So for me, it was a big part of this whole thing was I don't want to be stuck with a timeline in terms of I have 3 days here, I have 2 days here, we got to move, the plane ticket says we got to go. I didn't want any of that. I wanted us to be able to eat when we were hungry, sleep when we were tired, go if we wanted to, not do anything today if we didn't want to. I really wanted it to be a year that was completely open. And we, for the most part, that's what it was.
You feel that you achieved that?
Yeah.
This sounds like an odd question, but I've traveled extensively with my kids. Did they want to go?
Yeah, you know, they were young enough that they didn't get it. I remember I said, we didn't tell them, you know, parents know, you do not tell the children, you know, a year or two out of going on a trip like this. Hey, we're going on it, because every day, right, they're going to ask you about this trip. So we didn't tell them until we were probably a couple of months out or something. And we scheduled it. So we didn't go January to January. What we did is we left at the end of a school year and came back at the end of a school year. So it was a June to June trip, which meant also that when we came back, we had a whole summer before they had to go back into school to sort of readjust. But I remember we told them that we were going and my youngest just sort of shrugged his shoulder and I said, are you not excited? Are you not interested to go? And he's like, well, Johnny is going to Disneyland.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, Disneyland.
Like no context at all. And they were so young too that they weren't attached to friends in the way that happens when you're like 10 or 12 or 13, you know? And they were leaving at the beginning of a summer. So all their friends were leaving school. And I think if they have some sort of buy-in, and this is even from a very young age, if they have some sort of buy-in, then I feel like they're a little more excited about the trip. They don't feel sort of put upon to come on this trip with you. So one of the things, even with our year around the world, they were, like I said, they were 6 and 8 when we were leaving home. So, you know, they didn't know Russia from wherever. And what we ended up doing is putting up a big, giant post-it note mm-hmm. on the wall. And we said, dream. So just tell us things you want to do. You don't have to tell us where they happen or you don't have to know what it is that would happen to make it happen. But tell us what you would dream of doing. So we had everything from eat ice cream for breakfast, to jumping out of a plane. And it was like, these things aren't necessarily going to happen, but at least they give us an idea. So knowing that the sorts of things that they were interested in, we were then able to work those things in at different points throughout the trip. So I think one of them was, you know, swimming with sharks or something. And we got to an area and they didn't get to go in the water, but they got to see the sharks.
Right.
I got in the water. That's another story. Another thing I remember is that we often would give them a day. So we'd say, okay, well, tomorrow's your day and you are going to design it for us. You go online or figure out what we're going to do. And we have to do, it's Ethan's day and we're going to do what Ethan wants. And so I remember my older son went through and decided that we were going to go mini golfing. I think we were in China. I can't remember, but he decided
we were going mini golfing,
and he did the research, and he you know, how long it was going to take us, and we could take a bus or we could take a cab or whatever. And we got there, and it was closed.
Oh.
And he was so angry. And I remember we said, well, what are we going to do about that? And he's like, well, I want to tell somebody, what have you. And he came home, and he wrote a TripAdvisor review.
Well, good for him.
He was very, very proud
That's
of himself
brilliant.
For that.
Yeah. You know, even a small thing. I remember my youngest son, who's now 20, when we first started traveling, he became the guy with the map.
Right.
And he's very good at that. He's the navigator. Not that my eldest son wasn't, but that was his job. And he still is the guy who says, you know, I can figure out how to get you from here to there.
Yeah.
So it's just even giving some responsibility.
Exactly. We did that too, where they would have, one of them would be in charge of the map for the day. And which way do we go next? And where's the place we want to visit?
No blame if we end up in the wrong place.
Nope, not at all.
Just otherwise. Yeah. There are all sorts of ways to get them invested in the trip. Operating for almost 15 years, redtag.ca is the place to go when you're looking to book travel. They give Canadians access to a wide range of travel products with leading tour operators, airlines, hotels, car rentals, cruises, and activities. From last-minute getaways where you can save up to 50% to trips planned out months in advance using their lowest price calendar, redtag.ca has the insight and expert knowledge to give travelers the best prices available. Plus, redtag.ca is partnered with Air Miles. Air Miles collectors are able to earn miles when booking a vacation package through redtag.ca, rewarding travelers to help them get to their next vacation sooner. Whether you prefer booking online at redtag.ca or calling one of their travel professionals, redtag.ca is there to help with all of your travel needs. Redtag.ca experts know what travelers need for their vacations and will help ensure you have all the proper documents and information to make your trip as seamless as possible and cover you while in destination. Redtag.ca combines great people with technology to ensure each customer experience exceeds your expectation. Visit redtag.ca or call 1-866-5-RED-TAG to plan your perfect trip. Okay, logistically. So where did you stay? Did you rent apartments? Did you stay in hostels? Were family pensions? Like how did you manage?
It varied. So we did everything from house stays in India, homestays where we were with the families. We did apartments in some places, sort of Airbnb-ish mm-hmm. type stuff. We did hotels in some places. Sometimes if I was writing about a place, we'd get a hotel room to stay in there. Sometimes, so one of the places that I wrote about a lot during the trip, and I actually worked at an agreement with them, was the Four Seasons Hotel.
Oh, hello. Sounds,
right. Not bad at all, right? And so I was working on a publication that they had. And so in sort of in lieu of that, of I'd get some payment, but also I'd write about our experiences there. They were testing out some family travel programs. And I remember that we would go to these Four Seasons Hotel, and we traveled, I should tell you, with 2 weeks' worth of clothing mm-hmm. for the entire thing. So it was all sort of carry-on.
God love you.
It actually made it easier. But, you know, if you go back and look at our photos, every time we were at a Four Seasons, we were in the exact same outfit.
That was your good outfit.
Because
right?
We only had one good outfit. I remember I did a presentation at one point after we were back, and looking through it, and in almost every picture, I'm in the same jacket. I'm like, yeah, because that was the jacket. You know, which also helped because we made a decision really early on. I'm not a wintery fan. I don't do any winter sports. I tend to hibernate when winter comes along. And so it was a follow the sun type of itinerary.
So you could pack a little more lightly. I am such a firm believer in carry on.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had some people on this show who have advocated that, and I thought, can't be done. I did carry on for the last, I was just away for, again, warm weather, and somebody else had a checked bag, and it was the difference, night and day. If you can avoid checking luggage.
Oh, I'm a big carry-on-only person as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Are there any tips that you have for getting the best deal possible for booking families? I mean, you mentioned that you used Airbnb and so on, but family discounts or even just cooking in the room? Or were there some things that you would pass on to other people when they're traveling with kids?
Oh, yeah.
No matter how short, whether it's for a weekend, for a year.
Well, one is, for sure, you want to pack light. You need a hand-free for those kids. Right. We knew that even before this trip, that you wanted to make sure that we had just the carry-on or the, you know, the little bit of clothing, because you wanted to have hands free. So that was important. Kitchens were very important. They were at that age where there was a snack every so often. And they're at that age again, apparently.
Tell me when it ends, okay? Because I haven't seen it yet.
Like, there was a gap in there somewhere. But yeah, so you wanted, you know, having access to a fridge and a microwave or something to be able to warm things up, to keep leftovers from meals, that sort of thing. Was really helpful. Now I would recommend, there are a lot of apps out there that are really helpful in terms of finding you good flights or finding you great places to stay. So there's a bunch of them out there. And really, you just have to get into an app store and sort of search travel, and you'll come up with a bunch of them. I'd say, yes, you want to save for these things. But I think people always think, I'm just going to live my life, and then some money's going to come from somewhere, and we're going to... And it's never that, right? There are trade-offs. You know, I now write a travel column for the Globe and Mail. And one of the things I've written about recently is about budgeting for these things. And, you know, I confess that we have a light fixture in our home that is what the builder put into the home 15 years ago. That is, it's hideous. It's like a wrought iron, horrible, horrible thing that I hate. Every day I do this as I pass it, cover my eyes, you know. But... because I don't have a fancy chandelier, that money went into traveling and into doing things with my kids that I have all these memories for. So
tell yourself that as you go by.
Yeah, I do. Every day. But it really is. Like, I mean, we make decisions daily that say where our value systems are. And for us, especially after we came back and, you know, there was a real shift in terms of, you know, do I go out and buy 6 more things at, you know, Pottery Barn or what have you, or... do I maybe forego that and instead remember how great it was to be on this adventure with the kids? And usually it wins.
Yeah. And now, apart from the fact that you released them from their routine and saw the tension go out of them, what were some of the other advantages of taking part in this amazing adventure?
This is the best thing I've ever done in my life.
Really?
Quite frankly. Yeah. Number one, we are a foursome. So the very thing I was concerned about, you know, this solved it. Which was that no matter what, we share these inside jokes, and we just have this connection that I know from other friends and troubles that they're having with their kids and what have you, that not everybody has. And I don't have test subjects that I can say, well, the kids we didn't take are terrible people.
Yeah, look what you're doing.
I don't have that, but I really see in them a lot of skills and qualities that I think were developed through that trip. So. Quite substantially, some of the things that happened were I left home with a picky eater and came home with a very adventurous eater. I left home with a kid who was really shy, who now has his own YouTube channel and like really flip side type personality developments and changes that I think were a direct result of travel. But also little things, not little really, of confidence and self-confidence and a sense of that the world is bigger. So I'll give you an example, which is my youngest. I remember before we left, you know, he'd come home and, oh, so-and-so's not my friend. And, you know, they're not talking to me on the playground or whatever. And it was, you know, the big deal. And we came back. And I remember he came home one day and he was like, well, so-and-so told me today he's not my friend. I'm like, oh, well, how'd you feel about that? He goes, I told him I got friends in France. And it's so literally feeling like the world was bigger, their neighborhood was bigger, their friendships were bigger. There were people on the other side of the planet that had an effect on their life and that they didn't have to get bogged down as much in the little things. And I still see it. And they're teenagers.
Yeah.
And I still see it.
So let's talk about some of the places. What would you recommend traveling with the children in that area, let's say, that age group?
Yeah.
What were some of the best spots that you would recommend to other people? Oh, you've got to take your kids to such and such a place.
You know, you got
to
take your kids everywhere. So here's the thing is I think we often think, you know, children can only do certain things and we have to make sure children have certain things. And I don't believe that. I was like, they join my life. So if there are things out there that are interesting, there are children throughout the world. If there are children where you're going, your children can find something to do. It may not be what they do at home, but it's going to be something. And so we really didn't run into any situations where I felt like the children shouldn't be here. What was interesting was sort of seeing how the children were received in different places. You know, I remember standing on the side of a street in Vietnam, and a kid who was maybe 3 or 4 sort of came down some apartment steps. And I don't know if you've been to Vietnam, but the traffic is like Frogger. Like, you can't cross a street because the motorcycles. And this like 3 or 4-year-old kid comes down, local child comes down, and just sort of looking across the street. And I'm like, oh, my God, like, what's going to happen? And the mother comes down, and she's really upset with this kid and what happened. And she grabs her or whatever and takes her up. But sort of this harsh love of children. Like, your door was, like, what was happening? Then we go to Cambodia, and, like, parents are totally doting, and children can barely take a step because, you know, so there was just in every place we went, it was interesting to see how families there treated their children, and they treated our children as they treated their own.
I also find traveling with children that you're more likely to meet people through your kids.
Absolutely.
Because they just go to a playground or the beach, and next thing you know, they have friends and you meet the parents.
All the time. And what we found, too, is I think part of the reason that, you know, we were never mugged, we weren't out late at night because we had young children, so there's also sort of those kinds of things, but we never ran into any real trouble, and we got a lot of help along the way, and I think a large part of that is because they saw us as a family.
Yeah, you're a great advocate for family travel.
I believe in it. I think it can change your family's dynamic, and I think it's better for the planet. I think if we all were out there with our kids, it makes you vulnerable, right? Mm-hmm. And once you're out there and feeling that vulnerability and have to depend on other people for their kindness and have to be a little bit humble in the way you approach the world, I think it changes everything. I mean, one of the other things I really loved about the kids and this whole experience is I remember we were in the car after we came back, and it was right around the time when Egypt was having trouble. In fact, we went to Egypt, but a number of times sort of jumping in and out just because of the political situation there. And we came back and heard that, again, there had been some sort of uprising, and, you know, it was on 680 or one of the news stations or something, and suddenly the kids said from the back seat, and they would have been like 9 or so, and from the back seat they're like, you know, are our friends in Cairo, are they okay?
Yeah.
And just that click that we should care, mm-hmm. actually.
We should care.
When something's happening on the other side of the world, because they know a man with a child in a neighborhood in that place. Mm-hmm. And suddenly just that was enough for them to care a little bit more about what was happening somewhere else. So I think there were just so many benefits for it. And I recognize it is expensive. Mm-hmm. It is a luxury. Not everybody gets to do it. But I think no matter how far you go, exposing your kids to different is just so important.
Heather, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, what have we learned? Don't try to do too much on vacation. It's easy to forget how regimented our routines are, especially our kids. Traveling on a loose itinerary allows you a release from that routine. Don't play it safe in terms of location. If there are children where you're going, then your children will be okay there too. And it'll broaden their perception of the world. And finally, family travel doesn't have to be just for the kids. Everyone has the chance to get a little closer. That was 3 Trips Ahead, brought to you by RedTag.ca. Plan your perfect winter trip today at RedTag.ca or call 1-866-5-RedTag. Thanks for listening. Subscribe for free and leave us a comment to let us know what you think. 3 Trips Ahead is produced by Stephanie Phillips and presented by the Frequency Podcast Network. For updates on our show, you can visit frequencypodcastnetwork.com or follow at Frequency Pods on Twitter. Next week, we're talking about traveling solo. All by myself.